Last year, Adam and I and a few hundred friends of DeSoto gathered in the Masonic Lodge inside a cemetery in the heart of Hollywood. Were we there to practice some dark rite? Some sinister ritual designed to bring deceased Star Trek actors back to the plane of the living? To bring an unholy horde of undead nerd celebrities to Earth to consume the brains of the living? No, we were just doing our live show of the Share Your Embarrassment Tour. It's our review of Star Trek V, and we filmed it. We just wanted to let you know to get ready for that live stream announcement coming next week. If you're a Max Fun member and you support our shows, you'll get access to discounted tickets from membership at MaximumFun.org. So, good time to make sure those emails are delivering properly to your inbox. Either way, we'll be announcing ticket links soon here and on our mailing list that you can sign up for at podshop.biz. The Share Your Embarrassment Tour is coming to your living room for one last stop, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Captain!
Not here.
Captain! Report. Signatures detected.
Shields up.
Signatures detected.
Red alert.
Context Starfleet Command.
What's happened?
Context Starfleet Command.
Delay that order.
Context Starfleet Command.
This is the captain.
Context Starfleet Command.
Get out of my chair. Chair.
We have engaged the Klingons.
Klingons.
Welcome to The Greatest Discovery. It's a Star Trek Discovery podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison.
And when Star Trek Discovery isn't on TV, and it's in between Season 1 and Season 2, we like to talk about the news, sort of the hot stove league of Star Trek Discovery podcasts, I guess, right? Like,
I don't know what the hot stove league is.
Really? That's a term that you use about baseball when baseball is not being played. That's like the rumor mill.
Gotcha.
That's gossip about teams and players. That's what this is, right?
You're much more of a sporto than I am, so you know you know these terms, and I don't.
Just by looking at us, you'd be able to tell that, right?
Yeah, you're much more of an athletic bearing.
Yeah.
I was in a ride share at one point when we were just on tour. I think we were in, I want to say we were in Detroit, and we were missing a piece of equipment and got left at the previous venue, and I had to race to some electronics store to replace it before our show. And I got in a ride share, and the guy driving the car had like one of those extra big cell phones clamped. Like, he had one for navigating, but he had a second extra big cell phone that was just showing a live broadcast of guys in suits talking about the college football prospects that were happening. You know, it was not like a game even that was being televised. It was guys talking about college football.
And just guys hot stoving each other.
He was watching this show. Like, it was, you know, one of those like ESPN style, you know, in the studio with the desk talking about, oh, if they don't trade for that guy, they're going to be screwed when it comes to the playoffs or whatever. Like, I don't know what they talk about on sports shows, but
wow.
He was driving around watching this.
And like, from the moment you got into the vehicle, it had been playing. So it wasn't like you started rolling and he turned it on and he was like, hey.
Care to watch something with me?
Wow. And then what did you do?
I white knuckled it because I was, you know, I think if time had not quite been of the essence, if I had been a little bit more at liberty to speak up, I would have said something. But you know, we had a show, and if this guy had, like, you know, stranded me, that was going to cost me minutes that I didn't have to burn in calling another car.
Stranded in Detroit is a movie that you could sell in the room, just based on the title.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty wild shit. But yeah, that's us. We are that show that guy was watching, but about Star Trek.
So did you one star him?
I one starred him. It's the first time I've ever done that. I've never given anything less than 5.
Yeah, I've never done that before. Like, does your app stop working?
It instead of like good good driver, friendly conversation, clean car. It gives you like, what could this driver improve on as buttons? And then there was a little note section, and I wrote in the note section, this man was watching television while driving. And
wow.
They emailed me and said, like, the safety team has been alerted, and like, that's something we don't condone at all. So,
man,
yeah.
That's
I don't want to come for that guy's living, but he put my life at risk. He put his own life at risk and everybody else on the road, you know?
Yeah, I think where safety is involved, I think that's the right play. It, you know what? Like, hearing the story makes me think about just the size of the bowls of shit that you and I will eat for the sake of not being confrontational. Like, because I don't think I would have acted any differently in your situation. And if you had taken the urgency off the table, again, I don't think I would have done anything. I would have been fine just going wherever with this guy. Ben, one of the worst Lyft drivers I ever had was in Barf Car. Did I ever tell you the Barf Car story?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I heard the Barf Car story.
I called a Lyft. It was at the end of a night of hanging out with friends and going out to bars. And a nice lady pulls up in a Merc mount. Like, I'm almost positive it was a Merc mount. And I thought it was odd that there were blankets all over the back seat. And then
that comes standard in every Merc mount.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that the luxury package?
Yeah, they're wool blankets if you get the upgrade.
Man, as soon as I closed the door behind me, I knew I was in for trouble, because it was like the breathe through your mouth amount of vomit smell.
Oh.
That like, an effort had been made to clean it up, but you need to take that car off the road before putting it back into service.
That's a night ender, for sure.
And you could probably guess how I treated that situation, Ben. I didn't say anything about it. I took the ride all the way home, and I fucking 4 out of 5 starred that person because I felt bad for them.
It me. Every New Yorker has the experience of waiting for a train, and like, the train comes and it pulls into the station and every car is crowded but one. You're like, why is nobody on this one? Oh, well, I guess I'll be on it. And then you walk on and you find out that some bodily function has taken place on that car.
The doors open and it's like a shining amount of like blood pours out.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So I've been there, done that.
And you went into that subway car?
Oh yeah, I mean everybody falls for that once. Like, there's no not learning that the hard way. Like, if you see a car that is too empty to be plausible, is empty for a reason.
And you don't even go into the empty car?
No, you go, like, the first time you go in cuz you think this is a great deal for you, but then, you know, as an experienced rail rider, when you see that car, you go, something's wrong there, not going in. Like, there's going to be like a body when I turn the corner and look for a seat, you know?
You're an experienced railman.
Yeah.
Ben, that's why I like riding the subway with you. You know where I should go.
Adam, let's, what is it? Stovepipe baseball?
Yeah. That's what it is. It's Hot Stove League on The Greatest Discovery today, Ben.
You want to pinch off a hot loaf on The Greatest Discovery?
Hot Loaf League.
There's some exciting news that I just came across on the internet. We're going to talk about comic book later on the show, but...
We're due for comic book, aren't we?
We are due. Dude, there is some actual content coming up. There are going to be 4 short episodes of... that's set in the Discovery universe, coming out on CBS All Access starting this fall, like maybe starting this month even.
Real, I think that's great. Like, I do not like waiting for season 2, and this is a nice little what do you call this? This is an amuse-bouche.
An amuse-bouche, yeah, a little snack to tide us over.
You look like you are hungry! For Star Trek Discovery Season 2!
The chef has sent this over to you!
because you ordered the duck à l'orange and it is taking a much longer to cook than previously anticipated.
This is why we ask you call 24 hours ahead for the duck à l'orange.
I think that they announced that these short treks were happening at like San Diego Comic-Con, and somehow I totally missed that news. But Michael Chabon, the beloved Pulitzer Prize-winning author, went on Instagram and, you know, posted a picture of himself sitting in the captain's chair, saying like, "Hey, I happened to write a short episode for these short treks." And I basically could not be more excited because he's one of my favorite authors.
You're a real Chabon head?
I love Yiddish Policeman's Union. I loved Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. Like, he's written some really fantastic books.
Are you able to make any predictions on what kind of story this might be?
They talk about it a little bit. They say it's about a character that finds himself alone on a ship. And there's four of these episodes being made. Let's see, one of them, the one that Chabon wrote, stars Aldous Hodge, who's a terrific actor. There's one about Tilly. There's one about Saru.
Mm.
And the last one has Rainn Wilson in it, so a Harry Mudd episode. And they're like 10 to 15 minute shorts that are all set within the Discoververse.
Oh, Aldous Hodge played MC Ren in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, he's great.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And apparently Chabon is going to be involved in the Patrick Stewart Old Picard show as well. And I don't
are
know.
Are we calling it Old Picard?
Yeah. I don't know if I can think of a creative being attached to that show that would get me more excited than that. Because I think that Chabon has like a great understanding of genre, but also like writes about real, you know, real feelings and real, you know, there's great amounts of pathos and emotion in his work, and I think that that's a lot of what I'm going to be looking for in that Picard series.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting.
In this old
news.
Picard.
Yeah.
Now, when you're looking to prop up a legacy science fiction series, you're going to want to take your most beloved character and sign him to a short-term contract.
We're using turpentine to strip this down to the boards and bring back that beautiful wood finish that it would have had originally.
Your older actors might have warped in the intervening years from the last film to the present day.
That's all. I mean, there's been a bunch of news, and I don't know that we're like the breaking news podcast that people are turning to, but I would.
We're never going to be that timely. We're just going to talk about the news that interests us.
Yeah. I'm super fucking pumped for Chabon Star Trek crossover.
Yeah. That is a hot, hot stove there, Ben.
Yeah. My friend did a lot of drama stuff in high school, and his drama teacher was Steve Chabon, Michael Chabon's brother. So I met Steve Chabon one time.
Michael Chabon's the author of Wonder Boys.
Yeah.
You're the man now, dog.
It's not Wonder Boys.
Is it not?
No.
It's what?
Like Finding Forrester or something.
What's Wonder Boys? Wonder Boys is with Michael Douglas.
Spider-Man and Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Everyone likes You're the Man Now, Doug, though.
Yeah.
No matter what movie you're talking about, always welcome.
Our first podcast idea was a documentary podcast, and we were going to call it You're the Man Now, Doc. Remember?
Boy, that would have been wildly popular. I doubt we would have been able to tour behind that one.
I don't know, Adam. I think people love documentaries, and they're right to.
But come on. I mean, I think we chose the correct source material for a show.
I agree. I love our show.
Yeah, show's pretty good.
Adam, do you want to get into this comic book?
Let's pivot to comic, Ben. It's been a little while since we talked about Star Trek Discovery Succession, the series. And where we left off was book number 3.
It was the big cliffhanger before the final episode.
When we last left our Mirror Universe heroes, Emperor Fuckboy had stopped the coup by Michael Burnham, Admiral Bob, and Amanda Grayson.
Yeah.
And killed Amanda in the process. And then Captain Aram is piloting the Shenzo in orbit above Earth.
She's like taking the ship hostage because she can emit gas at any time that would kill people, but her head can turn into a gas mask.
Yeah, she's got a gas weapon and her finger's on the button.
Hovering over that button.
Oh, damn! Let the window down!
We start in the midst of a monologue of Emperor Fuckboy saying why the Terran Empire is so powerful, you know, and it's like they have turned science into an evil enterprise, you know, they're all about developing technology that will advance power and knowledge. And
you get a frame up top that shows something that I don't think we ever see in Star Trek, which is like three Connies lined up. Like, show me all the Constitution class ships.
Yeah.
All together.
Are those, what are those discs? Are they shooting? Are they shooting, or is that just like stuff they're warping past?
It kind of looks like warpy blobs.
Oh, yeah. you got a little warpy blob on your shirt there. Do you want to change before we go out?
Yeah, I think that's what it's got to be.
But they look tough together. Like, one Constitution class ship by itself is pretty cool, but three together look badass.
You know, for all of the like naval metaphor that Starfleet is given, mm-hmm. you rarely see like the Armada.
Right.
You never see in a naval parlance like the fleet or the flotilla. They're mostly single ship to single ship combat.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Why is that?
I don't know. You occasionally see like a bunch of ships gang up on the Enterprise, but it's never the Enterprise and a bunch of ships ganging up on anybody else.
Yeah.
I guess Wolf 359 just like taught them the wrong lesson.
Yeah. I really like how this issue does a lot more voiceover, I think, than the other issues. And you know it's voiceover because the dialogue's in a squared off box instead of a roundy. But they do that to transition between scenes and settings too.
Yeah.
Like you'll get the voiceover of the scene to come.
Right.
In the scene that you're leaving. And that is that's a film technique.
Yeah,
right there.
That's an S edit.
Yeah. It's great.
I love those.
Yeah.
So that everybody's kind of on their knees. Amanda Grayson's body is dripping blood. That when we cut to Emperor Fuckboy monologuing at them, he's just standing in the puddle of blood that is flowing out of Amanda Grayson. And it's Michael Burnham, Cole, and Laurel in shackles with Admiral Bob and Emperor Fuckboy and a couple of guards holding weapons on them. And it's Laurel that actually turns this situation around because she is very, very strong and breaks through the shackles.
You gotta know better if you are the Terran Empire about the tensile strength of those shackles, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been ranting about how they're so advanced in science and weaponry, and then they don't know how to make a good enough shackle that a Klingon can't break it?
This is really dumb shit. I mean, the Klingons have been enslaved for many years at this point. You'd think the shackle technology would be commensurate with that amount of time.
Yeah, maybe they had... They have good shackles for Klingons on Kronos, but they were like, oh, what do we got here? I guess we're just going to have to do with these, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
These are just people shackles.
All I got are these fuzzy handcuffs from the nightstand and Fuckboy's suite.
Yeah, and he like really just bought them for novelty purposes. Like he's never been able to convince anybody to actually do anything with those, with him.
They don't even have a key.
Yeah. He's like a ruthless murdering emperor, but like when he suggests they do a little of that kind of play, people are like literally laughing in his face.
Yeah. He's the real dope.
Yeah. And he gets what he deserves. He gets, Cole goes for the guards, and Laurel, gets that knife out of his hand and gets the knife onto his neck. He yells at the guards, like, do whatever she says. And yeah, the, like, drop has been gotten.
Kind of a lot of people die in this room, like, between the last issue and this issue.
Yeah.
Because Burnham kills Admiral Bob and then kills Emperor Fuckboy in the span of, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, this is, like, this is a very, very bloody issue of this comic. Like, it started bloody and it just gets bloodier and bloodier all the way through. It seems like every page is one character betraying another, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he makes a bargain to, like, let the Klingons go. You know, your freedom for my life. And Burnham is suddenly rioting for, hey, actually, I'm the emperor now, and your freedom, that's a deal you made with the last guy. I'm not going to honor it, but you guys can be governors or whatever.
There is a Mametian amount of double-crossing happening here, too. Like, the idea is that...
Is that like a unit? Like a mammoth of double-crosses? Like
yeah.
Like a murder of crows?
Would it be Mametian? I don't know. It came as a pretty big surprise to me when Burnham takes out Admiral Bob.
A motherfucker of double-crosses?
Yeah. Like, they had... They had been buds up until now, like, and Burnham had needed Bob throughout.
Yeah.
But as soon as Bob starts talking about, like, convening a council of governors to choose a new emperor, I think that's, like, that was the tipping point. Yeah. Burnham can't allow that.
Not Doug.
Yeah. Like, this is not going to be a democratically elected leader at this point.
I mean, I think that the lesson here is if you're in the Terran Empire and you don't have physical leverage on anybody... On somebody, like, you can't trust them, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can never, like, nobody is ever trustable to do anything unless you literally, like Arium, have your finger hovering over the button.
Yeah, and God, like, before they know it, they're, like, ankle deep in blood and rising.
Yeah. Arium swears fealty to the new emperor. You know, she does the hologram into the bridge of the Shenzo, and it seems like Arium is going to be trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean...
But we've learned too much to believe that, right?
And the Klingons are trusting Michael Burnham at this point. Burnham's like, hey, thanks for the assist, guys. I'm going to have Arium drop you off at Kronos.
I know this is not quite the good deal that you thought it was going to be, but, you know, at least you're not dead or whatever.
Yeah. How can anything be trusted at any time here? I guess that's the disbelief suspension you need to have in order to be interested in this story, I guess, right?
I wonder, does this get super boring after a while? I mean, like, if we couldn't have, like, a whole comic series about this, because it's obvious anytime somebody is going to extend trust, it's going to be double-crossed, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one thing that the Mirror Broken series does. I think that series handles this double-crossing a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I think due in large part because it isn't on every other page. Like,
right.
There is a lot of dialoguing and scheming and planning without a lot of people getting killed.
Yeah. I think it also has a little bit more space to breathe. Like, this just being a series of four... comic books doesn't they really have to come fast and furious with the concluding ideas in this issue.
To answer your question, I'm not bored by it. I think it's fun, and
I'm just saying, like,
exciting.
It's fun in isolation, but in
it,
like, you couldn't do, like, the follow-up series to this, I feel like, without really
run out of bodies.
Yeah. because like the inauguration ceremony or whatever. The coronation ceremony?
Sure.
Where Michael Burnham becomes the fascist dictator of the Terran Empire, and instead of fireworks...
Hey, there's a lot of these discs here, Ben. I'm wondering if that's what those ships were shooting on page one.
Oh, yeah, it's
They're
confetti.
They're shooting confetti.
Instead of fireworks, they get like stinky cheese gas, and suddenly Arium's head turns into a helmet again.
Yeah, they get pig pen to death.
It looks like one of the, you know, like in an old cartoon where a character smells cheese and like floats through the air toward it because they're so enraptured by the smell.
This is pretty gruesome, the series of frames here.
Yeah, they almost look like they're getting zombified with all the all the teeth sent against the blood.
I think this gas has removed people's eyelashes and eyelids and lips.
Yeah,
I think that's what it targets first, right?
Yeah, and the it's just like a black dot on white on their eyes, like no color anymore. And
that wide shot is striking too, just thousands of bodies.
Yeah.
Arum takes the crown from Burnham and has ascended to the throne. The thing is, like, this gas isn't planet-wide. This is like a localized drop of the gas here. So
it's a tactical strike.
Yeah.
She grabs the crown off of Michael Burnham's head, and there she is on the dais with two Klingons and no other alive people.
This crown has got to be a snapback, right? Because if this is a pro-back crown, I don't think she's going to be able to fit it around her mask, like after taking it off of Burnham, right?
Maybe her head can be reconfigured and the crown can't, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this crown is changing hands a lot, like in the last couple of days. So I think it's probably loosened up pretty well, too.
Yeah, it's really well broken in. I mean, yeah, they say that there's been four emperors in the span of a week or whatever, so maybe you have to make that snapback just for economic reasons.
Yeah, and boy, you get to see helmetless Captain Arum, or now Emperor Arum, and it's a lot like the whole reveal of Darth Vader's head without his helmet. Like,
yeah,
pretty grisly stuff happening beneath the hat.
Yeah, the Klingons are like, what the hell is wrong with you? And she's like...
Even the Klingons are grossed out by this.
I mean, I've seen Loaf, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's just as power-hungry as any Terran, but also has a real resentment on because they've never considered her to be a full equal of them.
It's interesting how, like, Klingon honor plays in the Terran universe versus... in the Mirror Universe versus in the Prime Universe, because, like, in Prime Universe, I feel like there's... Klingon honor is treated as kind of like an orthodoxy that is, like, old-fashioned and strict and whatever.
Potentially causes big problems.
Yeah, but in the Mirror Universe, there's... that kind of that sense of honor makes them seem like they have more humanity.
Right, they're more civilized than the Terrans.
Cole and Laurel are pretty horrified at what they've seen here. They're like, "Hey, so are you still going to take us back to Kronos or whatever? Is the deal still on?" I don't think it is.
They get to be governors.
Yeah, I mean. They're probably not getting a lot of sleep on the Shenzo during that trip, right?
Yeah, every time they hear like an air conditioner kick on, the air starts blowing. They're like, oh shit, oh shit.
There is no doubt that they're going to stick the do not disturb sign on the door of their quarters.
Hard to imagine that that type of sign gets given much respect in the Terran Empire, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you know they're doing a lot of laundry on the Shenzo. They're giving you turn down service whether you like it or not.
The epilogue is much similar to the end of Discovery, the television series. Little moment with the Enterprise, the ISS Enterprise, Christopher Pike's captain's log. Whatever was going on back at home, like the Enterprise is doing what it was supposed to do the entire time. Same mission for the Enterprise. He's like cautiously excited about their new emperor.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a cog in the machine, right?
How does it work with Spock being a first officer, given the racist tendencies of the Empire?
I don't know.
Because, like, the other... like, his mom is a resistance fighter. The other Vulcans hate the Empire. His dad's a resistance fighter. Right? Didn't we see Sarek and he was like in the tents on that resistance planet?
You're listing a lot of reasons why Spock should be hated and outcast.
And not trusted.
No.
But they see that goatee and they're like, yeah, you're one of us.
I see that goatee.
Yeah. You wouldn't have that facial hair if you weren't one of us.
Yeah. So what do you think, Ben, as the fourth and final issue of this run winds to a close, did you like this series of comic books?
I did. I had a lot of fun reading it. I liked the artwork a lot, and yeah. I thought it was a pretty fun story. Like, I think you have to rise to a certain level with a mirror universe story to get my attention, because it's not where I personally would like to hang out most of the time.
Yeah,
but it's fun to see like how much thought has been put into like how that universe works in the context of Discovery, because I mean there's a lot of crosstalk between these books and Discovery.
These are really fast reads. I don't know if 20 pages is the average of a comic book these days, but I really feel like you could crush these in an hour, like the whole series, and derive some great enjoyment from
the
series.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm into it.
I am into it as well.
We should, what would you say about doing the Mirror Broken series on this show as we keep cruising through the hot stove league of Star Trek?
Well, there's other Disco comics that I'm curious about. There's one about Stamets, I think, that is supposed to be, I think it might be by the same team.
Oh yeah, we should do that because it's a Star Trek Discovery show that we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and also we've got those, we're going to have to do episodes about those short treks, I think.
Oh yeah.
So thank you so much to the folks at CBS for giving us anything to do. Jesus Christ.
That's fun.
Seems like we've got plenty of time. So we'll do more comics. We'll do more news. We'll watch short treks. Got a lot to do.
It's going to be your favorite every 2 week Star Trek podcast. That's for sure.
Squarespace. Got to build yourself a website if you want to stand out online. Social media websites are not cutting it anymore, and you really can't tell the story of what you do and sell your products or services or time effectively without a really great looking website. Squarespace is the way to do it. Using Squarespace Blueprint, you can choose from professionally curated layout and styling options. You make a seamless checkout option for your customers. You can accept PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. Amazing. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/trek to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Well, I got one question to ask you, Adam.
What's that, Ben?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible! Drunk Shimoda!
The line from Shimoda to Emperor Aram, like, is pretty direct.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Chaos Agency that does it. Like, the hard thing is, like, I could never see Shimoda, like, committing genocide.
No, he's not that kind of dude.
And so to even associate the name Shimoda with the new emperor troubles me deeply.
Yeah.
But there's something about her ways that makes me draw that line. So I think I'm going to give the Shimoda to Emperor Aram. What about you, Ben?
I'm giving it to Emperor Fuckboy. And it is for that scene where he's just standing in, like, it would have been much easier for him not to be standing in that puddle of blood. But right. He is just standing right in it. Like, there's so much more floor space that doesn't have blood flowing over it. And somehow, like the just the carefree attitude of somebody who's like, I'm going to step in something sticky. I don't care. I don't give a shit. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. God. Clearly not a dog owner. I think when you have a dog for a while, you really become more mindful than you've ever been about where you step.
Right.
Yeah. Both for reasons relating to accidentally stepping on a dog, which you don't want to do.
Right.
Or accidentally stepping in their poop.
Right. There's always like a tail coming out from under the couch or a poo somewhere. Yeah.
You know, there's mention of Terran Empire kennels a few times, like when Emperor Fuckboy threatens to feed the Klingon meat to the animals in those kennels. What do you think a mirror universe dog is like? Do you think they are not man's best friend?
Man's worst enemy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Remember that weird beast that Worf had on the bridge that one time? Was that a Q thing?
Was that a Targ?
Yeah. Oh, it was that episode where like they were like imagining their desires and the desires were coming real.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just like a Sheltie with a bunch of loaf on it.
Yeah, they put like a Hi-Li glove on its face.
Yeah, that's great. I love seeing the animal credits at the end of episodes and movies because the name is always like, and introducing Buttons.
Yeah. Fun stuff. No animals harmed in the making of these comic books, Adam.
No.
Yeah, there's actually like a little bit of some through the mirror stuff that's tagged onto the end of this comic book. There's a little like preview of an episode, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. This is not J.K. Woodward art, though.
No.
I don't know what this is.
Kristen Bayer has her hands full.
Yeah.
Working these books, working
busy
on
lady.
The shows.
Yeah. All right, Adam. Well, we'll be back in a couple of weeks to do more of The Greatest Discovery. Anything we want to leave the people with, or should we just give it to Rob to take it from here?
I think Rob knows how to close a show.
Yeah, he sure does.
Best in the biz.
All right, Rob, you sort this thing out.
Rob steps through the 16 inches of blood.
The Greatest Discovery is a Maximum Fun podcast hosted by Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison. It's produced and edited by me, Rob Schulte. Our music is by Adam Ragusea. Head on over to MaximumFun.org/donate to support the ongoing production of this show, or you can leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can find Ben on Twitter at BenjaminAHR. Adam is at Cut for Time, and I'm at Rob K. Schulte. We'll see you next time.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.